hearing me, somebody? The Bible said that the expectation of the righteous shall not be cut off. He said the expectations. In other words, when you are expecting something, you can wait until you have received. I don't know whether you have expected a package from the mailman before. And in fact, you sat down the whole day and you were waiting. In other words, you were in a state of expectancy. And today I came with a message for somebody who is expecting something from God. Tonight, may God respond to you. I said, tonight, may heaven deliver that message unto you in the name of Jesus. I told you that tonight I'll be dealing with curses as God was leading me yesterday. And I've entitled this message, Who Brought This Curse Into This House? Who brought this curse into this house? Now, this is a personal message. I want you to, I am going to take you on a journey into your house, into your home. And you are going to analyze and diagnose with me circumstances in your house. So that you understand that there are certain things that are operating in our life. In the book of 1 Samuel, the chapter number 17, the verse number 28, I'm going to need a reader, somebody who can read well, somebody who can open the Bible quickly as well while they read. If you are that, you can come and sit here very quickly and get a microphone. Amen. 1 Samuel, oh, don't worry about the 1 Samuel, that one you don't have to read. When I get to the place where you have to read, you can read. Amen. But 1 Samuel 17, the verse number 28 to the verse number 30, the Bible said that David made a statement, and David said that, is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? Now, the Bible said that the children of the Philistines, or the armies of the Philistines, have invaded the camp of the Israelites. And the Bible said, day and night, they will stand upon the camp of the Israelites, and they will insult them, they will afflict them, and they will say all kinds of things about them. But the Bible said, there was none among the Israelites who was able to withstand the Philistines. And scripture said that David came to the camp, and David said, is there not a cause? In other words, the reason why the Philistines are doing this is because there is a cause. The reason why we have been going through this over and over and over again is because there is a cause. There is a cause to every problem and every situation in life. There is a cause to every accident and every trouble in life. There is a cause why things happen in life. And this very day, I am going to deal with that cause, and we are going to make sense out of that endless cycle of troubles. In other words, some of us go through endless issues. Amen. See, there is a difference between a problem and an issue. Are you hearing me, somebody? There is a difference between a problem and an issue. Some have moved from a problem and they have come to an issue. Are you hearing me, somebody? You see, an issue, the Bible says that the woman had an issue of blood for 12 years. You see, an issue is a problem that overlasts its time. It's a problem that goes beyond its time, so that now it becomes an issue in my life. It becomes something I have to live with. I hear me, someone. In other words, many of us have problems that have become issues. In other words, the woman with an issue of blood, she began only with a blood clot. She began with only an issue of a menstrual cycle. But the Bible says she realized that her menstrual cycle would not stop. It continued for a period of 12 years. And scripture calls it an issue of blood. I hear me, somebody. In the book of Genesis, there was a problem that occurred. The Bible said, and the serpent occurred in the book of Genesis. And Adam and Eve could not deal with the serpent. And the serpent became their problem, but moved on to become their issue. In the book of Revelation, the serpent is described as the great dragon. I hear me, somebody. You see, there is a difference between a serpent and a dragon, though they have similar attributes. A serpent is a dragon who have grown wings. I hear me, somebody. A serpent is a dragon that has grown wings. It is a reptile. It has grown wings, and now it spit out fire and not just venom. I hear me, someone. Now it releases fire and not just only venom.
So they could not deal with the problem in the Garden of Eden. And the problem grew. And it became greater and greater. There are certain problems in our family tree, in our bloodline, that have grew, that have outgrown our fathers and our mothers, and it has met their children and their children's children. So that there are certain problems that your father went through that you are going through. There are certain problems that your father went through that your brother or someone in the family is going through a similar problem because your father was not able to deal with it. And because your father was not able to deal with it, it has become an issue in the family. Listen to me. The Bible says that there was an issue that arose in the order of Abraham. Abraham met Abimelech. And the Bible said he lied. It was a problem. But God overlooked the problem. But Isaac also met Abimelech after Abraham died. And he also committed the same technicality problem. Are you hearing me? And then when Isaac gave birth, his own son Jacob also deceived him by a lie. So the issue outgrew Abraham. Abraham did not deal with the issue because God ignored the technical problem. It affected his son Isaac and it affected his son Jacob. And because of that, there was a warfare in the house between Esau and Jacob because of an issue that the father could not deal with. In the house of David, the Bible said that there was a problem. That one of David's sons slept with the stepsister. And the Bible said that David did not deal with the issue. And when David did not deal with the issue, the Bible said that years later, the son rebelled against the father. Many years later, the Bible said by the counsel of a man called Ahithophel. Ahithophel. The Bible said the counsel of Ahithophel was as though God had spoken to a man. When Ahithophel gives you an advice, the Bible said it was as though a man met God and spoke to God. He was a wise man. And the Bible said he said to Absalom, he said, this is what you must do to your father. He said, line up all your father's wives on the balcony and sleep with all of them or lie with all of them in public. Now, it was a problem that David should have dealt with, but David never dealt with the problem. Now, the problem became an issue. And I'm telling you that today, there are many of us here that problems have outgrown and they have become issues in our bloodline, issues in our family. But David said that there is a cause to everything. When you look at the reason why some of you are not able to hold on to a job, there is a cause. There is a cause to why you work so much, you labor so much, and yet still you are in lack. There is a cause. There is a cause why you do everything that you have to do. I met a surgical doctor, and this guy works so much. But yet still, when you go to the place that he lives miserably. There is a cause why he receives over $200,000 a year, but yet still he lives in lack. There is a cause. I met a woman, and the woman said, Pastor, in our family we are well to do. She told me her profession, and she mentioned the profession of all her brothers or siblings, and they were all people in high places and authority. But she said, Pastor, there is only one problem. None of us is able to get married. There is a cause. There is a cause why none of them is able to get married. It's not a coincidence. Are you hearing me, someone? I said it's not a coincidence. It was something that began as a problem and it has become an issue in the family. And everybody in the family is dealing with the same issue. There is a reason. While a woman will go to the hospital and she will perform every test, she will go through every diagnostics. They will take her through every scan, and the doctors will say, we don't know what is wrong. Go home and you may still have a baby. And she tries everything and she does not have a child. There is an issue. There is an issue. There is an issue. While every good thing that comes into your hands, you lose it. There is an issue. There is a cause to it. There is a reason to it. There is a reason why some cannot have children. There is a reason why some cannot hold on to marriage. There is a cause. Everything that happens has a cause. And sometimes that cause may be a curse over your head. Sometimes that cause may be what? A curse over your life. Now let me make certain similarities in the Bible to you so that you understand how practical a curse can be in your life and in your family. I'm going to mix some kind of little things to you. See, when you look at the Bible, there are certain things that you should take very note of. God, whenever God blesses a man, he does not bless the man alone. Whenever God bless a man, he bless a man with his entire family and his seed. Are you hearing me, somebody? So the woman with the alabaster box came to Jesus. And the Bible said when she poured the ointment upon the feet of Jesus, Jesus made a statement and said unto the woman, he said, woman, what you have done shall be a memorial unto you and to your seed or your generation unborn. So it was not only unto the woman, but Jesus said, it shall be a memorial to you and your unborn seed. Whenever God blesses a man, the blessing is for the entire family. Jesus met a man called Zacchaeus. That man was a sinner. And when that man met Jesus, Jesus said, Zacchaeus, come down from that sycamore tree. For today, salvation has come to your house. He did not say salvation has come to Zacchaeus. He says salvation has come to what? Your house. It was Zacchaeus that applied for the salvation. But the salvation affected his entire house. Are you hearing me, somebody? It was Zacchaeus that went for Jesus. But Jesus said, because you came for me, your entire house is covered. Salvation means that to be delivered from every curse or every abomination. It means to be saved. And Jesus said, from today, your entire family is delivered because of you, what you have done. Whenever God blesses a man, he blesses his family. He called Abraham and said, Abraham, I will bless you and I will make your seed great. God blesses a man and blesses his entire generation. And when a curse comes, one man receives the curse, one woman receives the curse, but it affects the entire generation. So in other words, someone can bring a blessing into the house. Listen to me carefully. Someone can bring a blessing into a house. In other words, you being in the presence of God, you desiring God day and night is a blessing to your family. Someone can bring a blessing to the house and someone can bring a curse to the house. Are you hearing me, someone? Someone can carry a curse onto the house. Now you can read 2 Samuel, the chapter number 3, the verse number 28. Who brought this curse into this house? Who brought this curse into your house? That is why all your sisters are going through the same thing. All your brothers are facing the same challenge. Somebody brought the curse into the house. 2 Samuel. Are you there?
2 Samuel, yeah.
Chapter 3, the verse number 28 to 29.
Afterward, when David heard it.
It says, afterwards, when David heard it. Go on.
He said, my kingdom and I, guiltless.
My kingdom and I are guiltless.
Before the Lord.
Before the Lord.
Of the blood of Abner.
Of the blood of who? Abner. Now wait there for a second. You're going to continue. Now, Joab, the general, the commander of David's army, has just killed Abner, who was in charge of Saul's army. Now, Abner came to David and made a covenant with David. He made a covenant with David. And he said, David, I relinquish my role unto you. So they both had a covenant and a truce of agreement. But Abner, in a previous war, had killed Joab's brother, youngest brother. And Joab has been holding that vengeance inside his heart. So the Bible says that Abner went to visit David. And while he was leaving, Joab saw Abner
that he came to the king's house and the king allowed him to go free without any penalty. So he went after Abner, and the Bible said he took a sword and he pierced him from the back. He killed him. He stabbed him from the back. Read on.
Let it rest on the head of
Joab. Start from the beginning. It says afterwards.
Afterward, mm-hmm.
When David heard of the death of Abner,
he said, My kingdom and I are guiltless.
We are guiltless
before the Lord.
Before the Lord,
of the blood of Abner, the son of Ner.
Yes.
29. Let it rest on the head of Joab.
He said, let it rest on the head of Joab.
And on all his father's
house. And on all his father's what?
House.
On all his father's what?
House.
It was Joab that committed the crime. But David said, let the curse rest upon all his father's house. Read.
And let there never fail to be in the house.
Let there never fail.
One who has a discharge or is a leper.
Anyone who has a discharge.
Who leans on a staff or falls by the sword.
Who leans on the staff or falls by the sword.
Or who lacks bread. 30. So Joab and Abishai, his brother, killed Abner because he had killed their brother.
Killed their brother. You could stop there. The Bible said that, and David lifted up his mouth and he cursed Abner. And he said that, let there not lack from the house of Joab anyone who will not go through a discharge or an issue of blood. And also, let there not be a lack of anyone in the house of Joab who will not go through leprosy. And let there not be anyone in the house of Joab who will not fall by the sword. Let there not be anyone in the house of Joab who will not live in lack. He cursed him with four curses. And Joab's entire family was cursed. But it was Joab who committed the crime. When a blessing comes, somebody brings it into the house. When a curse comes, someone brings the curse into a house. That is why we have generational blessings and we have generational curses. Generational blessings are blessings that someone brought into the house. You are blessed because of something somebody in your family did. Generational curses. You are cursed because of something someone in your family did. But one thing about curses and blessings is that they are contagious. Are you hearing me, somebody? Blessings are contagious. And curses are contagious. If you want to be blessed, you must walk with someone who is living a blessed life. Are you hearing me, someone? Are you hearing me, someone? It is just like a seed is looking for a fertile ground to grow. And the same way, if you want to flourish in life, you must walk with someone who is flourishing. So the Bible said, compare yourself unto higher things. It does not say compare yourself to the lower things. It says compare yourself with the higher things. Because if you want to be higher, you must look up to higher things. You must walk to higher things. You must associate with higher things. Are you hearing me, someone?
Yes, sir.
If you want your life to be cursed, you walk with somebody who is cursed. Wrong associations. Bad covenants with people. Starting wrong things. Sometimes you have a good idea, a good business, but the person you started with is wrong. I was praying for a certain woman, and she owns an African restaurant. And I told you once this story, but I didn't tell you the other side of it. And while I was praying for her, I even had friends who visit me, come and pray for the woman, pray for her. And for a while now, nothing was happening. The woman's business kept on failing and failing and failing. One day when I visited her, the Lord said something to me, but there are certain things I cannot say. So I told her, when you wanted to start this business, someone came to you and said that you should start the business together and you shouldn't have done it. Now I was pointing to her sister, but I was afraid to say her sister.
So she started the business with her sister. Man of God, while this woman is going to church, that God will bless her business, her sister is also consulting a malam. To the extent that one day, I don't know where they found a cow and killed in New York, and they poured the blood on the doorstep of the place, of the restaurant. Somebody brought a curse into the house. Someone brought a curse. They did everything for the business. And she tells me, she said, Pastor, people are telling us the food is good, but they are not staying. Nobody is staying. Every time you go there, it's empty. Because she is looking for God, but her sister is bringing something into the house. I'm telling you that curses are contagious. You have to be careful. Sometimes the person you start something with, you have to be careful. It's not everybody that you can work with in life. It's not everyone. Because not everyone has the same mindset. Not everyone has the same purity of thought. It's not everyone that you can start a business with. It's not everyone that you can go to marriage with. Curses are contagious. When you marry someone who is cursed, you have married a curse. You have married a curse. If I marry somebody who is blessed, my life will flourish. How did I know that? The Bible said that, and Ruth said unto Naomi, he said, I will follow you wherever you go. I will follow you. Ruth said, the Bible said, and Ruth was a Moabite. But she said unto Naomi, today I leave behind my cause. I married into your family. And wherever you go, I will go with you. And Naomi said, my daughter, Lord, I don't have anything for you. All my sons are dead. I don't have any other sons to get. And Ruth said, no. He said, your God shall be my God. In other words, I have noted around you that there is a blessing that comes with your God. So I am leaving my cause behind and I am following you. Because from today, your God shall be my God. And wherever you go, I shall go likewise. And Ruth's life was never the same again. Ruth's life, that was in pain. It was in rejection. She was a widow. But when she followed Naomi, the Bible said that God blessed her life. God found a man for her. And the man was blessed. And because Ruth joined with the man, Ruth was blessed. If you marry a person who is cursed, you have married a curse. There will never be peace in your house. Your house will be a warfare. Excuse me to say, it will be like Israel and the Palestinians. You'll be fighting each other every day. And all you have between you is a war in your own house. I was talking to some marriage couples and the things that they were fighting about. I have seen a marriage that was divorced for only $1. Only $1. I have seen the marriage break apart for only $1 in the house. Why? There is a cause. There is a cause. There is a cause. There is a cause. The husband was counting the money and $1 was missing. It became a controversy in the house. I saw a marriage that they were fighting on toilet paper. Oh, I'm serious. There is a cause. They were fighting on toilet paper. And when you look at the woman's side of the family, none of her sisters are married. Everybody is married and divorced. And she's the only one with a marriage in her life. And the devil is trying to break the marriage because there is a cause. There is a curse that is pending upon their household. And they are fighting over, tissues and a paper towels. And that is the latest soap is what they are fighting on. I'm telling you, you have to be careful what you associate yourself with. I have seen friends rob friends of their glory. I have seen people that join hands with people to become their friends. And they steal the glory over their head without they knowing it. I have seen things. And you have to be careful who is in your life and who you are calling a friend, who you have associated yourself with. You have to be careful who you have been covenanted with. You have to be careful. Because if you are not careful, you are bringing and you are heaping curses upon your life. Who brought this curse? Who brought this curse? That is why you know that you are intelligent, but you could never complete that school. You were never able to finish the school, but you know you are bright. There is a cause. There is a curse that is pending on your head. You had everything that it took. You were even mentoring other people, tutoring other people, but you yourself, you couldn't make it. You are able to teach people how to do it, but when it comes to you doing it yourself, you are not able to do it. There is a cause. There is a cause. So if there is a cause, then there is a curse. Then a curse is contagious. So therefore, what is a curse? What is a curse? I will give you 5 definitions. I was preparing my notes last night. I know I had this message in me to preach. And I said, no, I have to put some points down for you to write down. And usually I wait till midnight before I begin, before I start to do anything at all. So I waited for midnight. Just when I was about to do it, my room did not have internet. And I tell pastor, as for me, you can give me a room without a bed, but don't deny me the internet. Amen. So I thought it was coming from, you know, maybe downstairs something happened. So I said, okay, fine. I'll just sleep it off. And I'll wake up around 6 o'clock and probably to be on. I woke up around 6 o'clock and the thing was off. And I had to read and compare some Bible scriptures and all kinds of things. And there was no internet because when you are working and all you are carrying is this electronic stuff. So I was there and 6 o'clock in the morning, nothing happened. 10 o'clock, nothing is happening. I said, no. This thing cannot be happening downstairs for this long. So I said, no, I have to go down there and find out what is happening at the reception. So I told the young lady, I said, my internet is not working. She said, no, everyone's internet is fine. I said, no, mine is not working. She said, everyone's internet is working. The internet boss that is on the floor that I am on connects everybody's internet on the floor. So how come my internet? I have 2 things connected. And at least if one was, and I'm not naive in this sense. You know, I've done computer engineering. I work with this things. So I know if it is a problem or whether it is an issue. Amen. So the same box that connects everybody on the floor, my alone is not coming through. But if the tablet will not work, at least the phone should connect to the internet. Anything, one of these things, the 2 of them cannot be off at the same time. So I went downstairs. I said, no, this is not possible. So I said, why don't you call someone to come? I said, no, sir, we can't do that. You have to wait till it comes back. I said, no, I can't wait till it comes back. You have to do something. She said, okay, the only thing I can do is to shut off everything in the entire building. I said, go ahead and do it. Because I will not live without it. So she shut everybody off. And when it came back on, mine also came back on. There is a cause to everything that happens. I'm telling you, there is a cause. The devil will try to build a resistance against whatever he knows that God has initiated for a blessing. What is a curse? 1. Curses are mere ways that are issued by mere people. Curses are mere words that are issued by mere people to invoke harm, destruction, and punishment against other people. They are mere words that are invoked by mere persons or mere people to cast harm, destruction, and punishment against someone. In other words, if curses are mere words, because some of you, when we talk about curses, you think that somebody has to do some stuff
like the way the Malams would do, and they make everything wundios. And when they make it wundios, you think that is when they have... No. Curses are mere words. When someone look at you and tell you it will not be well with you, it is a curse. Are you hearing me, someone? Just by those mere words uttered by another man, a mere human being just like you and I, those words can haunt your life forever if you are not operating in the right standing or you are not on the right path in life. I'll come back and talk about this. Number two, a curse is the invocation of evil and satanic judgment against a particular person that affects their whole family. It affects your entire family tree. It is the invocation. Once again, it is invoking something. But this, you are invoking an evil, a satanic judgment against a particular person that affects their whole family. Like I said, curses affects an entire family and not an individual. So when you curse one person, you have cursed their seed automatically. Number three, a curse is the binding of a person, a thing, a place with a spell. Binding means you have tied them. And a curse is when a spell is cast on someone. And sometimes you look at spells and you think it is just mystic or some superstitions. But it is the binding. It is when someone reprograms your life. He binds and he ties you so that your life becomes stagnated, so that you are not able to move from where you are in life. I will come and talk about this. Number four, a curse is a vehicle of supernatural powers that carries judgment or punishment against a certain group, person, or family tree. It is transferable and transcends a generation. A curse is a vehicle of supernatural powers. When I say a vehicle, in other words, it transcends a generation. In other words, it is transferable. It moves from one person to the other. It moves from a woman to her daughter. It moves from her daughter to her child, and so forth and so on. It is a supernatural vehicle that carries a supernatural power. Number five, which is the simplest definition you can get. A curse is the opposite of a blessing. A curse is the opposite of a blessing. When someone is blessed, it means they are favored. When someone is blessed, it means that they do things without a struggle. But when someone is cursed, they are denied favor. Even when they are qualified, they are rejected. Even when they have the credentials for acceptance, they are turned back again. Why? Because there is a curse that denies them favor. Okay. Now, let me go back to those of you who have associations with Africa and you come from back home and all kinds of things. You do recognize that curses were commonplace in our home. Or curses were common things in our hometowns where we come from. Sometimes someone can wake up their children with a curse. And since I'm familiar with the Ghanaians, I could use that for an example. Someone can wake up their children. Pasia, sorry. Cause their child stupid and a fool just so they can wake them up. Someone can wake up their children with a curse. All you do is sleep. This is how your life is going to be. And these things are mostly common things in the house. People curse when they are upset. People curse when they are angry with each other. People curse when they are mad with something that someone do to them. These are mere words you say to your sister. These are mere words you say to your friends. But initially, you have activated a demonic programming in their life. You see, prayers are carried by angels. When you read the Bible, you find that out. The book of Daniel, the book of Revelation, you find out that every time someone prays, an angel comes. Or God sends an angel, or an angel leaves the earth. In the book of Revelation, the Bible said that the prayers of the saints were carried by the angels of God, and they were taken into the golden censer of God. I mean, the golden altar of God. So prayers are carried by angels from God. Curses are carried by demonic angels. Every time you issue a curse to a friend of yours, because you are upset, some angel, demonic angel, carries it. And they take it into programming, and they begin to work against the person you issue it to. Sometimes you see marriage couples, the husband and the wife get into a very heated argument, and they begin to curse each other by the exchange of words. Because everyone wants to say what will hurt the other one. That is the goal of a fight. You want to say what will hurt the other person. So this one comes with theirs, you come with yours. Comes with theirs, you come with yours. Then you go into your back and you pick one strong one. Then you insult the person. I don't know how to translate this tense back and forth. Because you all don't speak Akan. I also learned the Akan myself. But I don't know how to transfer this tense back and forth. But some of you know it. Where you have been in the house and the certain ways you use with your partners in the house. That is why certain marriages couldn't stand. Because the devil heard the word and he carried the word. He carried the word. And he brought the word as the accusation against your family. For the Bible calls him the accuser of the brethren. He took the word from your own lips and brought it before the throne, and it was programmed. So certain people go through relationships and you take it for granted. By the issuing of those words, you are killing your relationship. By the issuing of those words, you are reprogramming the marriages of your own children. Not only are you cursing your marriage, but you are cursing the marriage of your children. You are cursing the marriage of your children. A foolish woman like you. If I didn't marry you, who would have married you? Insult each other with serious things. At the end of the day, the marriage dies. At school, you'll find teachers cursing students. And you'll find students cursing teachers. Parents cursing their own children. You will not grow up. You will not mount to anything. A mother tells her own child, you will mount to nothing. What is it that? You will grow and just get spoiled. Just get destroyed. Your own parent issues this words into your life. In the Jewish family, on the Sabbath day, the head of the house will sit at the head of the table. And after they have eaten, he will rise and stretch his hands unto the whole family. And he will bless the entire family. Because they understand the issues of blessings and cursings from the head of the family and from the parent. You don't take these things for granted. It has destroyed many families. When we're back home, it is commonplace to hear curses at the bus stop, the trotro stations, the taxi circles, on the streets. Somebody will curse your life and you think it's for granted. One day I woke up in New York City in the Bronx and I was praying and something dawned on my spirit. I said, No, I have to move out of the Bronx. I have to move out of this place. Because in the Bronx, nobody can talk to you in a sentence without one curse word. Every time we open our mouth, you hear an F word, an S word, a B word, a Z word. Every time, in every sentence. And these are the words that have choked the atmosphere.
So that blessings are in competition with curses. There are little pronouncement of blessings, but there are more pronouncement of curses. And that is not the atmosphere I want to be in. I want to be in an atmosphere where people issue blessings. Where people command blessings. Because if you live in a surrounding when these things happen, I'm telling you, it's a mess. Now, let me talk about certain things. We're going to go into prayer, but give me some time. I want to get you loaded. Let me talk about some operations of curses in our lives. In curses, when we talk about curses, there are ways that curses can operate. There are ways that curses can be attached to your life. The first thing is foot tracking. When your feet are tracked. Look, Romans 10:15. Back home when you were growing up, you were told to be careful where you stepped. Because you can step on something that someone has laid on the floor. You can step on the charm. In other words, somebody did something. And growing back home, you never saw these things as superstitions because you saw it happening around you. Are you hearing somebody? When if you grew up in the West, you watch so many movies, you think it's a superstition. But when you grew up back home, these things happen live around your surroundings. So you know that these things are not superstitions. Romans chapter 10, the verse number 15.
And how shall they preach unless they are sent? Mm-hmm. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet
are
of
the
those
feet
who
of those.
Preach the gospel of peace.
Uh-huh.
Who bring glad tidings of good things.
Okay. Who bring what? Talk to me. Who bring what? Glad tidings of what? Good things. The Bible says, how beautiful are the feet. In other words, there are certain feet that carries glad tidings. There are certain feet that carries good things. There are certain feet when they come into your life, they bring blessings into your life. And there are certain feet when they walk into your life, they bring bad things. Matthew chapter 10, the verse number 14. You have to be careful and be discerning. Because there are certain fees that will bring peace. But certain fees brings destruction. When they come into your house, they bring sudden destruction into your house. Matthew chapter 10, the verse number 14.
And who will not receive you nor hear your words?
Mm-hmm.
When you depart from that house or city,
mm-hmm.
shake off the dust from mm-hmm. your feet.
Mm-hmm.
15. Assuredly, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah mm-hmm. in the day of judgment than for that city.
Okay. He said, and whosoever shall not what receive you. He said, when you are leaving that place, shake the dust off your feet. In other words, by the shaking off of the dust off your feet, you have cursed that house or you have cursed that home. You have cursed that entire place. By the shaking off, because the feet carries good tidings. When a person is in right standing with God, their feet carries good things. When they walk into your life, they walk in with a blessing. But there are those that walk into your life with destruction. They walk into your life, they walk into your job, they walk into your homes, and everything is messed up. You receive someone into your house, and after that, everything has not been the same. Nothing has been the same in the house ever since. There was a lady I was praying for. And while I was praying for her, the Lord showed me something, and I was asking her a question. I said, is it possible that you have been somewhere, and because I see that you walk somewhere, it looks like you are walking on the sand, and somebody took the sand after you walked, took the sand where your feet stepped after you walked, and the person took it, and from that day, the place you were heading in life, everything you were going to be in life switched in you. When I said that, something struck her because she said that, this was in New York, but she said that when she was in Ghana, She went to a church and a certain lady was telling her exactly the same thing. That she walked into a place and while she was walking, somebody took the sand off her feet. That person switched her destiny. That person robbed her of what she was supposed to become in life. And many of you have been through that circumstance unknowingly, where you did not know who took it from you or who took what belonged to you spiritually. Let me give you some symptoms of feet tracking in your life. Number one, you go through or you are introduced to misfortune in your life. You are denied access everywhere you go. You apply for a job, you are qualified, but there is no favor, so you are rejected. You are rejected. The person who interviews you tells you you are qualified. You have everything that we need, but you were not taken. Number two, you are living without a purpose. There is no plan. There is no aim in your life. There is no plan in your life. It means there are bad feats or curses that affect you in life. There is no purpose in your life. You just wake up, you just go to work, come home, but there is no aim, there is no plan to while you are living. You find yourself always walking into trouble or distraction. Number three, you find yourself, you are always going through troubles. From one trouble to the other. The Bible said, blessed be the Lord who has not given us as a play to the enemy. The Bible said but God has delivered us like a bird out of the snare of the fowler. How do you get into the snare of the fowler? You walk into it. He said, but God has delivered us like a bird. He said, my soul is free like a bird out of the snare of the fowler. There are people who walk into trouble, from trouble to trouble. Nothing is getting better. Number four, you move from one place thinking it is the location that is working against you. You try Munich, it didn't work. You try, Frankfurt, it didn't work. You try Hamburg, it didn't work. You move to Dusseldorf. You are saying, no, I have to move out of Dusseldorf too. You are moving from one place to the other thinking it is the place, but it's not the place, it's you. There is something about you that is not working. Because the same place that you are worried about, other people have imaged. Number five, you find yourself retrogressing in life and never progressing in life. You see other people bypassing you in life and you see your life going backward. You are not progressing, you are retrogressing. You are going back. You see, life goes forward, it doesn't go back. If you find yourself going back, it is an indication that there is something wrong somewhere in your life. It is an indication that the rules of life are not working well for you. Number six, you are stagnated and stuck in one place in life. You are stuck in one place. You are not moving. You are not going back. You are not going forward. Now let me talk about the next thing because my time is picking up with me. I'm dealing with curses which has to do with the hands. The curses. Zechariah chapter 4. Very, very quickly. Very, very quickly. Grandpa, you have to leave to the tax. Zechariah 4:9. We are dealing with curses that has to do with the hands.
Zechariah 4.
Yes.
The hands of Zerubbabel.
The hands of who? Zerubbabel.
Have laid the foundation
of this house. Has laid the foundation of this house. Go on.
His hands shall also finish it.
The same hands will finish it.
Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you.
Amen. His hands began the work. And his hands will finish it. So that you will know as a testimony that God is with Zerubbabel. It is an indication that not every hand that finishes, that begins will finish. Not everybody that starts will finish it. He says the hands of Zerubbabel has begun and it will finish it. There are certain hands that are cursed. You begin things and you never finish them in life. Ecclesiastes 6, the verse number 1. You begin things and you never finish it. You start a business and you give up in the middle of it. Your hands have begun many things, but your hands could not finish it. Why? Because the blessings of God were not involved in what you started. And if the blessings of God is not involved, it is curse. Ecclesiastes 6:1.
There is an evil.
There is what?
An evil.
An evil. Go on.
Which I have seen.
Which I have seen.
Under the sun.
Uh-huh.
And it is common.
It is common among men.
Among men.
Uh-huh. Read on.
A man to whom God has given riches and wealth and honor, so that he lacks nothing for himself of all he desires. Yet God does not give him power to eat of it, but a foreigner consumes it. This is vanity, and it is an evil affliction.
It is an evil affliction. The King James said it is an evil disease. See, there is a difference between a disease and an affliction. Are you hearing me, someone? Yes. Are you hearing me, someone? Jesus. A disease means it needs a cure. It stays inside of you. It is in you. See, a disease is a constructive, it is a constructive word of two words. The preface, this, and then the other way, is. You know is, right? Is means to be comfortable, right? So in other words, if you are not comfortable, you are this ease in life, right? So he said, what? It is an evil disease. So that you see your life on that trend. He said, there is an evil I have seen under the sun. This is an evil thing. Note it. A man that God has blessed in life. A man that God has given riches in life. But that man, though he gathers wealth, he builds a house, but he does not live, or he does not enjoy what he started. And he said, this is an evil thing. But Solomon said, it is common among men. It is common among men. In other words, a lot of people are suffering from this epidemic. They are going through this curse in their life. A lot of people are working, but they are not enjoying the fruit of their labor. It is an evil disease. It is a curse. It is not right. And if it is a curse and it's not right, it means it has to be corrected. Now, if read Isaiah 65. Isaiah 65. I've seen some man, he worked and worked and worked. This man was working 3 jobs in New York. And he was building a house back home. And it's sad. The man of God, drives a taxi and he does other jobs. He has been in New York for about 25 years. Built 2 houses in Ghana. And then, the following week when he was about to go to Ghana, he dies in New York.
Isaiah 65.
Isaiah 65, the verse number 21 to 22.
Isaiah 65, 21. They shall build houses.
They shall build houses.
And inhabit them.
And they will inhabit them.
They shall plant vineyards.
They will plant vineyards.
And eat their fruits.
Uh-huh.
They shall not build. And
they will not inhabit. Build.
Mm-hmm. They shall not plant and another eat.
Mm.
For as the days of a tree, so shall be the days of my people.
Mm.
And my elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands.
He said, they shall what? Build houses. And they shall do what? They will live in them. In other words, there are those who are cursed. They build with their hands and they never enjoy it. When I was growing up, right next to my grandmother's house, there was this very nice brick house. Those days, this man was building the house with these red bricks. And those were very expensive. Now, from the top, you could see the foundation has been laid. And the house has been lifted to about 10 feet, you know, with no roof and nothing. So you could see the divisions of the inside of how many containers, you know, are in the house and everything. That man, while he was building the house, he goes mad, loses his mind, and he dies. His son picks the house, tries to build the house, he loses his mind and also dies. That house was in my village till I grew up. And the house,
The bricks began to break one after the other, one after, until everything fell into the ground flat. Everything is gone. Nobody touched that house in that village. Nobody. None of his family members, after two people died, nobody came back and touched the house. I'm telling you, nobody touched that house again. And there are many houses in your villages. This is my village, in your village. There are many uncompleted houses over there. And everybody is afraid to continue it. When I went to Ghana, my uncle is here in New York. I think he has been in New York for about 8 years now. And he has been in New York and he started building a house in the village. You know, and all kinds of things. And when he took the house, my mother started the house. And he picked it up. And then he started doing it. Before that house, things were going on so well for him. The moment he picked that house out, he lost his job for 1 year. He did everything. Nobody would give him a job. So I went to the village, man of God. Because they have been talking about the house. They are building. I don't know what house they are talking about. So I went to the village. The moment you enter the village, the only house you see is that house. Not that there are no other houses. There are other houses, but the only house you see is that house. That house is tall. It is like on the hill of the village. And as soon as you enter, that is all you see. And I called him and I said, okay, this is why you are suffering back there. Because what is happening here? This is the show. And the house was so serious to the extent that foreigners will be passing by and everybody will stop and look at the house. It was like a tourist attraction. Because you will not know why anybody will build such a house in a village like this. And I called him, I said, listen, you have to pray. This I am not getting myself involved in. It's not every battle that you fight in life. This one you have to fight yourself. Yeah. No, seriously, when I saw that thing, I called him, I said, listen, you have to pray. Because, I mean, if you have not seen the house yourself, you should come and look at it and start praying. I'm telling you. The things he went through. The Bible said that the hands of Zerubbabel has built it. And his hands will finish it. The Bible said that you shall not build a house and another will inhabit it. Some of you have built a house and people are living in it back home. Today I pray you shall build and you shall live. I say you shall build, you shall live in it. You will not build for another to enjoy. In the name of Jesus, the same hands that struggled for it, may the same hands live in it. In the name of Jesus Christ, you shall build and you will live. I was praying for a certain woman in an Assemblies of God church. And the Holy Spirit led me to tell her that there is someone living in your house. The person is a witch. And the person is not doing good things with you. They are meeting you. I mean, your house is the meeting place. And, you know, at that time I've left Ghana for a long time. I don't know anywhere in Ghana. So I mentioned the place. And something fell on the woman. I said, no. I said, that is my sister. That night, what happened over there, it was serious. The Holy Spirit visited the sister instantly where the sister was. In that home that night. I'm telling you that the Bible said that the hands that built it will enjoy it. I'm telling you, you will not work for another to come and enjoy it. You will not suffer for another to come and live in it. No. It won't happen to you. The Bible said that the hands of Zerubbabel has started it and his hands will finish it. You will not leave any house uncompleted in your hometown. You will finish what you began. I said you will finish what began. You will begin a business and you shall finish it. Your business will flourish. You shall employ other people to work for you. In the name of Jesus Christ. Today I pray, may your hands be blessed. I say, may your hands be blessed. In the name of Jesus.
The songwriter said, my hands are blessed, and my hands are blessed with the blessings of the Lord. He said, my hands are blessed. He said, everything I do shall be surely be blessed. Everything I touch shall be surely be blessed. Today I pray everything you touch will be blessed. I say everything you touch will be blessed. In the name of Jesus Christ, if anything is cursed, when you touch it, it will be blessed. I say when you touch it, it will be blessed. In the name of Jesus Christ, today may your hands be blessed. I said may your hands be blessed. In the name of the living God. Jesus' name. Let me give you some symptoms of cursed hands. Anything you touch, anything you touch is cursed or does not work. Anything you touch. As soon as you get involved, it's blessed. It messes up. Number two, you started a business that you never finished. You had a desire in you to finish it, but you could not complete it. There is something. There is a cause. There is a cause. It is in your spirit, but you can't finish. Number three, you started a house for several years now. You can't finish it. Number four, your hands always introduces problems into other people's situations. They call you to come and cancel your friend's marriage. You turn it into a divorce. Number five, unprofitable jobs and careers. Nothing is going right. Number six, you live in consistent lack, though you work. Some of you, you work, but it's as though you are not working. It's as though you are not working. You are working and you are feeding the government, not your life. Number seven, you labor, but you don't enjoy the fruit of your labor. Some of you, all you think about is your work. Since you even came to Germany, you have never taken a vacation in life before. And when they tell you, oh, vacation, what are we using a vacation for? Even God rested. Sometimes you think, you see, the reason why people don't like taking vacation because they think the money is not enough. Nothing is going to work that way. Some of you have been to Germany and you have not even been to certain places. All you hear is that this place is nice. Your people back home think you are in Germany, but you are not in Germany. You are in your apartment. You don't know anywhere in Germany. You labor, but you are not enjoying the fruit of your labor. You are working. What is the purpose? Sometimes you have to take your children out, look at things on the weekend. Sometimes you have to go to a place where they are doing a massage and just treat yourself. Yes, treat yourself. You have worked for it. 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 But when you live a cursed life, everything is counting your fingers. When they mention money, you start counting your fingers. When they call you back home, you start counting, translating Ghana cedis to euros. You can never give money without calculating from cedis to euros. It is my prayer you will move from that angle. I'm telling you, it is my prayer you will move from that angle. It is my prayer that when you are giving money to people in Ghana, you will give it as though they live in Germany. Some of you translate the money and say, oh, 500 euros is too much for somebody in Ghana. Or the other thing,
What are they using it for? You live in Africa. What are you going to use this for? Now, let me conclude on this note. How can someone know if they are under a curse? How can you detect a curse in your life? Now, while I can't go through all of this because we have to pray, you also have to understand that there are about 70 specific sins in the Bible that leads to a curse. In the book of Deuteronomy 27 alone, there are over 20 things that a person would do that leads to a curse in their life. But aside from that, I want to talk about these things. Jeremiah chapter 48, the verse number 10. Jeremiah 48, the verse number 10. Anyone who does the work of God anyhow. Are you reading? You are there?
Yeah.
Go ahead and read.
Cursed is he who does the work of the Lord deceitfully. And cursed is he who keeps back his soul from blood.
He said, cursed is he who does the work of God haphazardly. You do it anyhow. You come to the house of God. They give you, said, you tell pastor, I'll be an usher. But you are never in church. You are only in church once in a month. And you want to usher. You promise, you said, I will sweep the church. You never show up. You never sweep. The Bible said, curse is he that does the work of God anyhow. Does it? Be around. God bless you. You are singing in the choir, but it looks like you don't want to sing. You are doing it anyhow. You are doing it anyhow. Say, curse is he that does the work of God anyhow. Genesis 12, the verse number 3. Number 2. Number 2. 12, verse 3.
Genesis 12, 3. Mm-hmm. I will bless those who bless you.
I will bless those who bless you. Read on.
And I will curse him who curses
you. And I will curse him who curses you. Number two, if you curse a righteous person, you shall be cursed.
And in you.
You could stop there, right there. Okay. If you curse a righteous person, you shall be cursed. If you curse an innocent person, you shall be cursed. The curse will fall back on you. Number three, because of time. Numbers chapter 5, the verse number 27. Number 5, the verse number 27. Numbers 5, 27. We are talking about the law of jealousies. There is a law in the Bible called the law of jealousies. The law of jealousy.
Numbers
5,
27. When he has made her drink the water.
When he has made her drink the water.
Then it shall be. If she has defiled herself and behaved unfaithfully toward her husband.
Towards her husband.
That the water that brings a curse will enter her and become bitter. And her belly will swell. Her thigh will rot. And the woman will become a curse among her people.
Read the next verse.
But if the woman has not defiled herself and is clean, then shall she be free and may conceive children.
The next verse. 29.
This is the law of jealousy.
This is the law of what?
Jealousy.
This is the law of what? Read, finish that verse.
When a wife. While under her husband's authority. Goes astray. And defiles herself. Or when the spirit of jealousy comes upon a man. And he becomes jealous of his wife.
That is it. You can stop right there. I will explain it. There is a law in the Bible called the law of jealousies, and it provokes a curse upon a person. The Bible said that if you leave your marriage and sleep outside your marriage, that law is activated over your life. And the Bible said that when you are brought before the priest, your husband brings an offering to the priest, and the priest takes water from the church, and he takes dust and pour into it. And he prays on it and asks the woman to drink it. And if the woman is found guilty spiritually, there are certain things that happen in her. The woman loses her womb, her ability to give birth. She becomes barren. And the Bible said her thighs and her bodies begin to rot from the bottom up. In other words, if you have committed adultery, I'm saying it very slowly, it means that you are under the law of jealousies or you are under a curse. If you stole somebody's husband or you stole somebody's wife, automatically you have cursed yourself. You have cursed yourself. It is right here in the Bible. You just heard him read it. Automatically you have cursed yourself. And the Bible said that there are reasons why certain women will not be able to give birth. There is a cause. A man came to me for prayer, and while I was praying for him, I think I told you the story here before, but I didn't tell you what exactly was the problem. But while I was praying for him, the man said to me, because he told me that he's having problems, where his manhood is not able to stand up when he's lying with his wife. But he tells me when he gets to Ghana, he's fine. And I didn't need any prophetic discernment to know, like, how is it that you are fine when you are in Ghana and your wife is here in the U.S.? So who do you test yourself with to find out that you are fine in Ghana? Not knowing the woman that he has been lying with in Ghana has cursed him. So that he cannot sleep with his wife. His desire is only unto that woman. The Bible calls it the law of jealousies. The law of jealousies. We can't talk too much into that time. Deuteronomy chapter 11, the verse number 28. Disobeying God's commandment. Deuteronomy 11, 28. This is 4.
Behold, I set before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing, if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today. Mm-hmm. And the curse, if you do not obey the commandments of the Lord your God.
Okay, so God said, behold, I set before you the blessings of life and the blessings of death. He said, a blessing if you shall obey my word, a curse if you shall disobey. It is an automatic principle that works in the law of God. So that if you go contrary to the ways of God, automatically the law comes into effect. That is self-explanatory. 5. Exodus 25. I'm talking about the mystery of iniquities. The mystery of iniquities. Exodus 25.
You shall not bow down to them. Nor
you shall them. Not bow down to them, idols.
For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God.
I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God.
Visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me.
He said, visiting the iniquities of the fathers to the third and even to the fourth generation. In other words, the curse happened. Somebody brought the curse to the house. But the curse is affecting the third and the fourth generation. Are you hearing me, somebody? Someone did something to God, or someone provoked God, and God said, I will visit the iniquity. So the Bible said that our fathers have sinned. Lamentation 5, we read yesterday. It said, our fathers have sinned, but we have borne their iniquities, or we have carried their iniquities. In other words, somebody did this and brought it into our house. And you have to understand that there are certain things that are happening for a reason. In your family, some of you in your family, where there used to be these kings and all kinds of things, and when somebody dies, they cut off somebody's head and they bury it with your grandfather. God said, I will visit the iniquities. In other words, the curse transcends your grandfather, and the curse reaches the generation of his children. So some people are going through things. That is why when you look into our culture, those people who are married to thrones are not able to get married. They go through cycles of problem. Those people with kinship in their family back home. So that even when they get married, it becomes a controversy. They experience soul ties. They sleep and they see someone sleeping with them. I was praying with a certain lady in a different state in the U.S. And while I was praying for her, the husband is a Caucasian. And the husband is not a churchy person. We had about, I think, 4-day program. The husband showed up once. But the very interesting thing was that the day that the husband showed up was when the Holy Spirit began to move on the woman. And the woman began to make certain pronouncements. And the woman was speaking, was saying certain things. Immediately, the husband said, I know that woman, not the wife. The husband said, I know that woman. The husband said that one time while they were lying down, he looked at the wife and then he saw a different woman. And it turns out, it was the woman's mother. And he said that baffled his mind ever since. So when that thing happened, and he heard the voice of the woman, and the same woman that was lying on the bed said, no, I know that woman. There are things that you have to remember, and that woman is tied to thrones and things in her family. And her mother has married her spiritually and will not allow her to get married spiritually. The Bible said that idol worship, if anybody in your family has ever bowed to idols, worshipped idols, there are curses over your life. Number 6, storing cursed objects in your house. I'm going to go fast, very, very fast. Storing cursed objects in your house or life. Deuteronomy 7:26. We are not going to read it. But if you have certain objects in your house that are cursed, your life will be cursed. A woman I was praying for, it was only during the offering. And then I called her and I was praying for her while the offering was going on. And I told her that she is about to give something to someone back home, but she shouldn't do it. And I told her that God will give you a sign, because 3 days from now, the person will cry that they have a headache and they will rush them to the hospital. You know that the next day she called and she said that the sister had asked her for something. In fact, I didn't give this prophecy. I gave the other one, so I will explain both. This one had a guest speaker who gave her this prophecy that someone related to her will ask her something from back home. And then when the person asks her the thing, like clothing, like, you know, I mean, she should bring her some of her clothes back home and things like that. She shouldn't do it. The next day, her sister called concerning the clothes. The sister said, oh, I just spoke to my pastor. And my pastor said, it's not necessary for you to bring the clothes anymore. I said, okay, no problem. You know, the same sister, a month later, I was praying for her. And I saw someone join the offering. I saw someone who was running with a headache. And the person fell. And the person was rushed to the hospital. So I told her that in 3 days, this will happen in your house. And exactly 3 days, it happened in her house. And I told her when it happened, that person is very, very close to you, but you have to be very, very careful and not receive anything from that person or give anything to that person. That person was her brother. 3 days, the brother fell with a headache and they rushed the brother to the hospital. Things that you receive, you must be very, very careful. Things that you place in your house. Benny Hinn said one day he was, you know, watching TV, and he said he turned on the TV and he saw that they were showing some shows about some things those things are like, you know, idol things and all kinds of things. And he said while he was watching, the Holy Spirit told him, you should change the channel because you are inviting something into your house. And he said immediately he changed.